Thank y'all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry Podcast, brought to you by Raising Grace Studios. Shout out to Bourbon Joy for sending us some delicious chocolates. Noble's Internet Services. Noble's Networking, excuse me, for free internet for the rest of my life. Let's see, who else? Red Circle, putting a little change in my pocket. And a big thank you to Miss Brianna for driving down from Atlanta this morning. Traffic wasn't that bad, though. You got here at a good, reasonable time, I think.
We're just on, 16 for about 11
hours. Right. You don't have to complain so much, ma'am. But in all fairness, usually when there are women here, that's what they're doing is complaining.
Oh, stop.
I'm telling you, the women like to complain around me.
I'm one of the only women that you'll ever meet that does not nag. You can ask my ex-husband, you can ask my current boyfriend, my dad, anybody. I do not nag.
There's a lot of men that just heard you saying not nagging and is trying to figure out who the hell you are right now. Is she married? What are we doing here?
A lot of ears just perked up.
And also, too, my brothers, Mr. Tyler Branch, Lee Tucker. Ethan Phillips is going to be here shortly. The talented ones.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all make the music. I just act like it. I just have a good time with y'all. You sent me something on the way here, and I wanted to kind of kick it off with that, Bri. With the woman with the hateful message to you.
Yes.
Like, I hate that shit because we all get it. You probably get it 10 times more than we get from haters and everything.
I get a lot of it from women. A lot.
You probably only get it from women, though, don't you?
I've gotten a couple from men, but...
What would a man say to you hating on you?
I would hate to be your boyfriend, or I would be embarrassed. I'm like, good thing you're not, then.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
Yeah, I don't understand that one.
But the women are just nasty. It's just... But the thing is, like, my boyfriend says, I ain't never seen a hater doing better than me.
I had messaged you back, but I knew he was driving, so I didn't bother you with it.
Oh, yeah, the Howard Stern movie. I have not watched it yet.
You got to watch it. It's called Private Parts.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But he has a thing in there to where when he started blowing up when he went to New York, he had all these sponsors and everything for the show like you would think Howard Stern has, and he had done something completely outlandish and crazy. And... the people who run the radio station come there to talk to him about the sponsors for the show, and they had done this survey. And on the survey, the average Howard Stern listener that liked him only listened for an hour and a half a day. The average Howard Stern hater listened for 2.5 hours a day. And the common response to both of them, the haters and the ones that liked him, when they asked why, said, because I wanted to see what he's going to say next.
Yep.
Your haters make you more money.
Yep. Right. And what's funny is she even kind of complimented me, too. She said something about, I just want to know, like, what plastic surgery you get. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. That is so nice of you to say that. Like, I look that good that you think that I got plastic surgery. And then I just responded with, like, LOL or something. And she just goes, typical response. And I just said, you know what's funny is that I live in your head rent-free. And you hate me, and I don't even know who you are.
Yep.
I have no idea who you are. And I just said, and what you say about me and what you say to me says more about you than it will ever about me.
Well, I just don't understand how people go on other people's social media accounts for no reason and just start talking shit.
Because they hate themselves.
That's exactly it.
That's all it is. Because if you find a happy person, ask me how many times I've gone up to a random person or messaged somebody or commented saying, you look like this, or I would never this. Never.
Mm-mm.
Never.
You probably get it in your lives all the time, though, don't you?
I mean, if I ever post anything political and then I decide to go live, I will get a lot of, like, they're mainly like 14-year-olds that don't know jack all about politics. That's when I'll get a lot of hate, but my moderators are real good. They'll just sit there and just, like, block, because I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I don't have time to waste my energy and waste my platform that God gave me on people that don't like me.
See, I'm with you. I was telling them before you walked in, and we were talking about somebody else that I haven't done a show with, but they've hung around or whatever. They're kind of loud and obnoxious, but can't get her on a show. And she's got a big social media following. And I was explaining them earlier how you're the one that if you got a daughter, that you won't like. I'm cool with my daughter watching anything you do, political or whatever. Because I feel like you're what a strong woman should be.
Thank you.
And how I want my kid looking up to you.
Thank you.
Like, I don't want her looking up to, like, so much me.
Why not?
I'm not a good person.
God.
I'm not a bad person.
He's like, you okay.
I'm all right. But, like, it's the first time me and you talked on the phone. And I was telling you, like, I believe women nowadays, especially you know, them growing up, preteens and all that stuff, you got to put in their head that you have to be strong and you have to be tough and you have to be fierce.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to get stepped all on. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you catch it from both sides. Women catch it from the gay side, mm-hmm. and then they also catch it from the straight side.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and even the Transformers.
Transformers. Took me half a second. Like, what is he bringing Optimus Prime into this for?
I mean, but that, I don't call them by their
you
name.
You can't.
I don't know the pronouns, so I just make a joke out of it. I like them. Yeah. One of the biggest things of all craziest shit I follow on TikTok is the transformation videos between guys into the transsexual.
I know. Those are so good.
They are creepy, and I love them.
No, I'm telling you, they do makeup better than any woman ever could.
I literally saw a woman that looked like Lee Tucker, our guy that looked like Lee Tucker the other day.
Who's Lee Tucker?
Him. Whoa.
Oh, hey. See, I told you I'd forget your name. Did I not tell you when I came in, I will forget your name.
Don't worry. I'll tell people. Never mind.
you can still say it.
I'm not going to say it.
I know them youngins. You're okay.
It's okay. Go ahead.
We'll say it off air. But no, like, I can't remember. The
Lee transformation.
I got confused.
I still don't know your name either.
It's okay.
Everybody's equal here.
To be fair.
Right.
To be fair. But no, I saw one that looked just like Lee Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the transformation thing, and all of a sudden it was a smoke show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to. Women, I would think, on social media, you get hate from all sides.
Yes.
Or you catch shit from all sides.
Like, you're not allowed to be too pretty, but you're not allowed to wear no makeup and sweats. You're not, either way, you're screwed. Because if you wear jeans and a t-shirt, it's like, why don't you dress up? If you dress up, it's like, who are you trying to impress?
Yep.
Either way, we're screwed. So it's like, why not just wear whatever the, can we say?
No, you can say fuck.
Okay.
I'm going to say fuck.
Why not wear whatever?
He knew what he's bringing his young
okay, good.
To.
I just didn't
shout
know.
Shout out to Cody Wiggins and
yes.
Ms. Peyton and Mr. Walker.
Uh-huh.
They're all in here hanging out.
The real show.
The
real
kids
stars.
In the audience.
Yep.
We have an audience, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the one
live in front of a live studio audience.
That's right. Technically, yeah, absolutely.
I get that. I made a video this week, and I was talking about this, how I appreciate big girls.
Mm-hmm.
I like big girls.
Mm-hmm.
I like skinny girls. I like all girls. I don't. Mm-hmm.
I don't discriminate.
I don't discriminate. Right. I don't think sexy has a size.
No.
And I get. Whatever, and I made this video. It was very positive towards thicker women, big women. And there were skinny girls on there, and they were pissed. And I was thinking,
why?
Because they were like, oh, you're, because I said bones are for boys and meat is for men. And all these little skinny girls on there got pissed.
Well, you're like me. I've been told several times, my buddies will look at me and go, you don't have a type.
I'm like, no.
Oh, I do, 1,000%.
Well,
really?
I mean, and that's 1,000%. Fine. Which is fine. But, like, I've had buddies look at me and they go, like, depending on, you know, you see this one, you see the other one. Like, you don't have a type. I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I like.
I can't explain it.
Yeah.
You either do something for me or you don't.
There you go.
You either do something for me
it's
or you don't.
Colonel, what'd you do for me?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. We put that on a tee for his ass.
Oh, my God.
No, I hate that, like, women like you get treated like, because I know some on social media just like you do probably deserve to get treated like that.
Yeah.
But the positive shit that you're putting out
with
First Ladies. By the way, she's got a clothing line called First Ladies.
And if you want to buy, it's firstladiesteam.com, by the way.
Right, see, that's how you do a helpless plug.
Uh-huh.
And teach y'all this shit.
You just smooth right on into
that's
it.
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm. You just go right into
right
it.
Right into it.
Real smooth like.
Segue.
And I don't address any. I used to address some like hateful comments on my page, but it did nothing. It did nothing because what they're doing, they want their 2 milliseconds of fame, and they're hoping that you give them attention. So if you just speed right past it, then they don't
matter.
It'll
drive them crazy.
Yes, it will drive them more crazy. And
yep.
And I mean, I just don't do hateful replies anymore.
I don't either.
I don't, because it does no good. Because all it does is that energy that you put out there. Trying to show them. What are you trying to show them? They've got nothing going on in their life. Because if they had something going on in their life, I'm bangling all over the place. I got
you're fine.
If they did have something going on in their life, they would not have the time or the effort to leave a hateful comment on your page.
Joe Rogan has a great quote when it comes to posting anything on social media. He says, if you believe in what you're posting,
mm-hmm.
post it, don't read a single comment because it doesn't matter.
Yep.
He said, you got your message out.
Yep.
Lee Tucker is the world's worst. He will post something on Facebook.
Well, instigate.
That's your first one. Why are you on Facebook still? That's your problem, man.
He's on everything.
I like old people.
Okay.
I can't deal with these fucking youngins.
Okay.
No offense, youngins. Just let y'all know.
He didn't mean it.
I like y'all. Y'all ain't talking shit on my Facebook. It's okay.
But he'll post something, and he does poke. He wants a response.
Oh,
he'll go back and forth with them all day.
Oh, I know.
I quit doing it a long time ago.
No, usually I just post something and I let two, because I got those friends that's like straight redneck, just trashy, and they will say
and just let them
whatever.
Go
and
it.
Then I got those liberals on there that'll come after them. There was one that had like I think 600 and something comments back and two. And
like
they gave each other's address and bring your ass to Tennessee. And one of them's a lawyer in Montgomery County.
Right.
And the other one is a damn Grammy Award winning producer.
Right.
Like got a Grammy for bluegrass.
I just don't have the time or the energy to spend trying to convince somebody of what I believe.
You're not ever going to change.
I haven't done that
in a few
years.
I posted something yesterday that I thought was straight fire. And I posted it at a time, because if you scroll over to your live, and you can see how many of your followers are online right then and there. And so I posted when there was a lull or whatever, thinking that it wasn't going to go.
Well, when you got a million following you already, it's easy anyway.
It's 867,000, but whatever.
But
so I posted it when there was not a whole lot of people online. And then it just blew up. And I was like, well, crap, man. Now I got to, because I like to filter through the comments just and look. And then there were some people that were just like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's all over the media. It was about the Boulder, Colorado shooting.
Once
they found out that he was not white.
Yep.
They didn't talk about his race.
I want him Akbar names.
And he's a Biden supporter. And he's Syrian.
Yep.
The media got quiet real quick. And that was my point, was that once the media found out that he was not a white Trump supporter, they just
Yep.
who he was.
You won't hear anything else about
Tucker
it.
Tucker just did a whole section on that. It was awesome.
Of course he did.
I
love
it.
I love
it. But then I had people coming on and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're spewing hate. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm literally saying that because of his race and his political beliefs, they're not talking about who he is. They're not even saying his name.
You can be sure there'll be some political movement because of that with the agenda that's out.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. If it doesn't fuel their agenda, they don't give a shit about you knowing about it.
Yeah.
Nope.
And people are usually too blind to understand that.
Yep.
Nope. And like you and I talked about, the media outlets are owned by four companies.
Yep.
Even Fox, every single one of them.
Well, if you followed what happened with Trump, the call to Roethlisberger here, when he was telling them to basically find where the fraud happened or look for the fraud, and he was telling them to find the votes, and people took it as he was telling them to look for Trump votes, for votes for me. And he wasn't, but that phone call, the case broke in like, it was several months ago, and the phone call, the actual recording of the phone call, just broke like the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. That phone call, the content of that phone call was used in a congressional hearing, and it was aired by CNN and I think MSNBC, and the majority of the stuff that they said he said was not even in the phone call. Mm. But MSNBC and CNN both used the same source.
Yeah.
So it got nationwide attention, but it never happened.
And then they came out and apologized. They
walked it back, but nobody cares about it.
He's no longer in office now.
Right.
And they're like, oh, sorry, we messed up. Oh, okay.
Oh, big deal, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just hope people are actually smartening up by this point.
Because I've
seen a lot of people, though. It's kind of been weird, and I don't really speak about it on social media or anything. There's a lot of people that were supporting Biden three months ago that now they're being super quiet about their political. But I thought once gas rose and once other things start rising.
It's not because of Biden that gas is rising.
Well, that's just like the pictures of the gas receipts I was telling you about last night. It got fact-checked, but it was from the same gas station 3 months apart from when Trump was in office to when Biden was in office, and it wasn't the amount of gas that got purchased or the end price, it was the price per gallon and the date that was circled, and it got fact-checked. And
so I posted a meme that says, were the tweets that bad, really? And seriously, I got fact-checked and flagged and everything. So I found out that if you get flagged 10 times on Instagram, But y'all see my meme, so you know.
How you haven't got flagged.
Well, I don't know.
I've never gotten flagged. So I got banned completely.
I got shadow banned, so my views went from like 400 views on my Instagram story down to like literally I was struggling to get 30 views on my story. Jeez. And they did that for 6 months, and then it just came back.
They did all of them.
Yeah, Facebook too. I can post something. I'll get like 4 likes on Facebook. Like,
When I was still at the radio station, I had wrote this. I mean, it was bomb. It was great. And it was one of those that usually when I post something there, it'll get 300-400 shares. If it's that good or whatever, a couple hundred likes, all this mess and everything. And it got 11 likes. And then I went back and looked at the hashtags that I had in it. And then I kind of went a little bit into detail about it. And it was certain hashtags were being monitored by Facebook, and they didn't want it being shared. You weren't going to see it on people's time.
And then I was listening to the radio on the way down here, and it said that Facebook is now filtering out and deleting people off of Facebook that they feel are bots. But then there's plenty of people that are like, I'm active on Facebook. They just share a whole lot about COVID, and they share a whole lot about the vaccine and all that, that Facebook doesn't want that information out there.
No.
So they're like, well, it's not a credible source, so we're going to delete that account.
Well, you can't even share memes about COVID without them, like, flagging
it
and all that shit.
Well, I got banned off of TikTok Live just for saying I'm not getting the COVID vaccine. I got banned for a week.
No kidding.
A week.
Yeah, all it is they're trying to control the narrative. They're looking at what China's doing. And, I mean, that's what it's got to be. They're looking at what these communist countries are doing and how their economies are and everything else. And they're like, you know what, we got a bunch of sheep here.
Yep.
Well, Trump Jr. is pushing Elon Musk to release some kind of platform.
Don Jr.
And that would be, I like him.
I love
can't
him.
Help it.
Ben Shapiro, I listen to Shapiro all the time.
He just moved to Nashville,
awesome.
I believe.
Yeah, he did.
I saw him out in front of Tootsie's. Like, he looked like a little Jew cowboy.
He is. He is.
That's what they were saying on Instagram. He's like Jewish cowboy.
He said something on his podcast the other day that stuck out to me. He said, you cannot lead a European lifestyle without expecting European style taxes.
That's right.
And if you look at any of the European countries, the taxes are through the roof.
And then so many people are like, well, what about free healthcare?
It ain't free.
Nothing is free.
It ain't free.
Somebody's paying for
that's
it.
Right.
Well, free education. No, you chose to go to college. You need to pay for it.
Well, that's just like the stimulus checks. They were sending stimulus checks out to people who are on fixed income.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you haven't missed anything.
Nothing.
Like, I missed a few paychecks. I hadn't gotten a dime of stimulus since this. Like, Uncle Sam owes me $3,200.
Mm-hmm.
But he sent me a bill for $165 the other day.
I blew all my bar tabs. I gave it right back as soon as I gave it.
Yeah, we stimulated the bar.
Yeah, that's right. We wanted to help our friends out.
My thing about the free education is I get it. I agree. But if they're going to do something, instead of giving them, like, free college, because, you know, they're just going to go for a semester or two and flunk out. So instead, what we do is loan forgiveness when you graduate. If you fuck around, you piss away that money in college, then you got to pay it back because you didn't take it serious.
I don't know. I still think it's like
give them free education.
If you make a conscious decision to go to college, you know you're going to have to pay for it.
Yep.
But I'm saying the only way that they should get rewarded for going is if they actually graduate. Instead of just, I'm saying versus either you give them everybody free college or only give it to
the
ones that graduate.
With all the federal grants and scholarships and stuff that you can get just for being a certain ethnicity. Like,
which, where's my scholarship for being white? Where's mine?
Thank you.
Where is it?
But with all the stuff that you can get from the federal government just to go to college, like, if you go, you know you're going to have to pay for it.
You see, in my mind, this is what I should have done with the stimulus. Before they sent all these checks and everything out, I think they should have looked at the middle class down. They should have looked to see what debt they were in. And I think that what they should have done is instead of just doing like, if you're upside down on your mortgage, if you're upside down on a car loan, take away that debt to where you're not upside down on your stuff anymore. Instead of forgiving or giving these companies whatever, billions and billions of dollars, whatever, help out the people that actually give back to the economy that run that fuel the economy. If you'd have done that, and houses wouldn't have been upside down, vehicles wouldn't have been upside down, people would have been able to breathe easier.
Here's the thing with student loans too, and I saw this. I tried college twice, neither time worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But I had friends when I was in college that would take out an extra student loan to pay off their vehicle.
Yeah.
Because they knew it was interest free.
I did that to pay for my rent.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. And use it for what you will, but it's like, use it for what you want to, but don't use it for what you want to and expect for somebody else to pay it off.
My thing is I don't think the government needs to have their hands in financially helping anybody. And that brings me to a quote that Ronald Reagan said, the most terrifying words in the English language are, I am from the government and I'm here to help.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I was going to tell you something. I mean, all due respect when I say this to you. When a woman comes in the studio or anywhere in this world, quote Ronald Reagan, I just fell in love. I did.
I've got
I know why Jimmy just swept you off your feet now.
Right. I've got a Ronald Reagan quote hanging up in my apartment right underneath where it says, think twice because I won't, with two guns on it.
You're a badass. Yep. You're a badass.
Yep. Hold on. It's, oh God.
I feel like I'm back in Texas.
Freedom.
Yeah, that's the people we're surrounding ourselves with from now on.
Here it is. It says, this is the exact thing that I have in my apartment too. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same.
Yeah, see, that's why I think right there, it resonates so hard with the way that like our generation was raised.
Mm-hmm.
This next generation is nothing like
mm-mm.
that. And if we don't fuel our children to be tough, to be strong, mm-hmm. to be proud of freedom, it is going to be gone by the time they have grandkids.
Yep. And Jimmy and I were literally talking about this last night. How did we go from my grandfather lying about his age at 17 years old to go fight the kamikazes in World War II to, oh, I'm offended you called me a she, he, or she, they, them, whatever. Where did we miss the boat?
Well, it's just like we were talking about on the trip to Texas. We were talking about the haters' comments on social media, and I think it was Kate was like, you know what, we've got it so rough. You know, the previous generations are probably looking at us going, oh, you bunch of pansies.
I'll tell you
that's what I was just thinking. I hope, like, I'm not happy about the way society, and as in what they appreciate as far as music, as far as the way that they're just not conservative about most things. But whenever I get an old man, to be an old man, I feel like I'll be happier because you know how you look at your parents' music, like, oh my God, that sucks.
Uh-huh.
I feel like they're going to look back in the same way about shit.
I believe,
bless their hearts,
that the reason why everyone is so soft now, I think it's just a couple simple things. I think when we started doing No Child Left Behind,
mm-hmm.
participation trophies,
yep.
telling every child they're equal to the other child, you're not.
Nope.
I learned very early in life, and I was not going to be a brain surgeon.
Right.
I don't need to be treated as if I'm going to be a brain surgeon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with being a mechanic.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with doing hard manual labor.
Mm-mm.
And now you got all these soft-ass kids and all these people that are in their early 20s, and that's what they want. They want
you can be anything that you want to be. My kid told me the other day, he just goes, Mama, I know everything. And I just said, absolutely not, you don't.
I mean,
absolutely not. I just said, I don't know everything, even though sometimes I think I do. I don't know everything. Your daddy doesn't know everything. Jimmy, you don't know everything. He goes, well, so-and-so said that I do. And I'm like, well, they're wrong.
They're dumbasses.
Yep. Right. Why did I say dumbass to my 4-year-old? But,
you haven't met my 9-year-old yet.
Right.
Well, the fact of life is there are winners and there are losers at everything.
Yes.
And if you think I'm wrong, go to Walmart after midnight.
Yeah, oh, God, which is the best time.
Oh, absolutely.
So but, good.
Yeah. Hey, look,
it's just me and Mexicans in there looking for pizza. Pizza rolls.
It's just you.
It's true.
Yeah.
I my phone. I love true. It.
But think about it. Everybody's reliant on the other one. A doctor, a brain surgeon, whoever you want to consider the top of the food chain when it comes to having a job. If his car messes up, more than likely he'll know how to fix it. He's got to take it to the mechanic.
Yep.
You have to depend on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not where it shouldn't be like that in my
mm-hmm.
mind. You should let your kid. I got a question one time back at the radio station when we used to do Q&As or whatever. This woman messaged in and she said, hey, my son is trying out for high school football team. He's not very good. I'm worried about him getting hurt, but I want him to feel like he can play with the rest of the kids and all this kind of stuff. And they asked my honest opinion,
mm-hmm.
and I said, look, if your kid sucks at sports, take him out of sports.
Yep.
Your kid's never going to be good if they're not good by that point, and they're going to get hurt. Me and Mr. Wiggins is back here right now. We played football together growing up, high school, and everything else. We used to single out kids, and this is just the way boys are.
Mm-hmm.
We used to single out the weak kids.
Survival of the fittest.
And if there was a weak defensive or a weak tight end in front of me, and I'm the defensive end at the time, I am blowing him out the water to make myself look better getting to that quarterback.
Yep. Well, that's why I got a guitar. I really did, because I wasn't good at sports. You got to bring something to the
table. Why do you think I'm on TikTok? I can't do nothing else.
Lee will love this about you. Oh, wait, let me ask this point first. If your son was bad at sports, would you rather go ahead and tell him, hey, try this for a little while, but if this doesn't work, we can keep pushing it or whatever, or let's find something you're good at and invest your time into it.
Oh, the second one. I'll, yeah. 1,000%.
There's so many people now that just want their kid on the team. No. Back in the day, you had to earn that spot.
Yes. Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then if you were the coach's kid or some kid that shouldn't have been on the team,
my God.
Everybody on that team wanted to fucking blow you up.
My dad was the coach for my softball team for a season, then a coach for my basketball team. I begged him. I said, please, God, do not be my coach again, because it was rough.
Yeah.
Everybody thought, oh, well, she's a this position because her dad. And I'm like, no, because I'm freaking good. That's why.
Right.
But you can't do nothing if your dad's the coach without people thinking that you didn't earn it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just like, don't be your coach's kid.
There was something I was about
your kid's
ask
coach.
You right before I said that, and it was such a good question.
Oh, I bet
I can't
it was
remember.
So good.
What were we talking about right before that?
You said I'm going to make a point.
Right, that
you
helps
said,
him.
Let me ask this question.
Okay, that literally does not help at all.
I don't know. I try to make a lot of
what
points.
What were we talking about?
You just called me fucking useless. I'm going to shut up. Goddamn, you're not helping me.
Oh, I know what it was.
We were talking about student loans. And
yeah,
student
I remember what it is now. Because these two, and even though Cody and his youngins ain't on the mic, this is all family. Raising Grace is a family. That's why I want you, Jimmy, your son part. Yeah. Our kids run around here. Gracie runs around here. But Lee and Tyler don't really know you yet.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them why you got fired and what happened after you got fired and everything.
I can tell you why I think I got fired, because they will not say it. So I worked for a company. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, because
you can
Google my name and can probably find out where I used to work. But I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. So basically, I was given a raise back in January, and then a week later, I get told we're going to have a meeting with myself and my boss, and then I just said, okay, well, that's weird. Like, I normally have, like, a weekly meeting with her anyways, which started back in October after somebody that I supported found out who I voted for, and she did not vote for the same person. And I supported recruiters in a company. But anyways, I'm fumbling over my words, because I don't want to badmouth the company.
As long as you don't say the company or the person who gets fired, you're not liable for shit.
Okay, so I supported a recruiter. I helped get doctors over to facilities and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ensured that they got to the facility. So then when the recruiter found out that I supported Trump and I voted for Trump, the tune between her and I changed. She started reporting every little thing that I did wrong to my boss. And then my boss and I ended up having weekly meetings discussing everything that I did wrong. Which you can imagine the morale of you as an employee going down, because you're like, well, can I do any fucking thing right?
Sure.
Like, my God. And so then back in January, I got a raise. And then a week later, they told me, well, we're going to have to let you go based on performance. But we're also going to give you severance. And I just said, okay, hold on. So you're telling me that I'm being let go based on my performance, correct? And they said, yes. And I said, but I'm also, I got a raise a week prior based on what? Well, your performance. Huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So also, my dad was in, corporate world. I've been in corporate world for a long time. I know that you don't get let go. I can't even see you, Lee.
move it however you want to. It doesn't make any noise when you
that
move.
You don't get let go and get severance
right
if you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and I told them, I just said, I just can't help but think that this has something to do with the political difference between me and my recruiter. And they was like, oh, no. I said, well, the timing of it is very, very off. And so they ended up letting me go back in January. And I just, it is what it is. It was the best thing that they could have done for me.
Same thing with me when I got fired from the radio station.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I posted.
Oh, and then they told me back in, this is back when Jimmy and I started talking, so like October, November. They pulled me in and they just said somebody, an anonymous source, saw one of your TikToks. It was my boss and her boss. They said they found one of your TikToks and said that it's offensive. So they found out where you worked. And I'm like, nobody, you would have to go back to my Instagram back in like January 2019 to find anything of where I worked. Okay. Or 2020. And they just said that it's offensive. So we can't tell you what you can and cannot post. But what we can do is tell you to remove any and all things relating to said company. Mm-hmm. Because it makes us look bad. And I just said, so I'm just going to let y'all know that I'm not going to stop posting political stuff because I believe what I believe. And right. My boss was a staunch Biden supporter as well. So I just can't help but think that me being let go had something to do with my political stance.
Sounds part of the course.
Well, when you live in the age of cancel culture, mm-hmm. that is one reason why when people have been reaching out to me for 2 months to get in touch with you, and then after finally talking to you that first day and mm-hmm. hearing your story and everything, I hate cancel culture. Mm-hmm. I believe that everybody, even if I don't like what you have to say,
Yes. You
have the right to say it.
People ask
me
all the damn time about, well, how do you like Luke Combs' music? He's a Biden supporter. I don't give a shit who you support. If you are a good person, you're a good person. There are shitty conservatives out there.
I'll go and tell you about Luke Combs and the rest of anybody in country music or any music or whatever that says they are. They're saying what they've got to say because of their record label.
That's
90% of the stuff that they... You can listen to Eric Church's music and know that he is not a Biden supporter.
There's no way Luke Combs is a Biden supporter. There's no
it's
way.
Not.
That's even, how's he got a song called Can I Get an Outlaw?
There
it
is.
Happened to Outlaws. Here's the thing. Outlaws.
He did do that stupid-ass song called 6 Feet Apart, though, which is dumb as shit.
You know, that was a great song, but he ended it wrong. And me and Leah talking about the last part of it, and he missed the best thing he could have ended that song with. Is when you get buried, how far are you down?
6 feet.
And the last verse should have been about being buried and being 6 feet apart away from your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should have ended.
See, that's songwriting.
That's songwriting.
That makes me so sad.
But it's a good. We like sad.
That
music.
It pulls on the
heartstrings. I know. I saw y'all last night with Sand in My Boots.
Oh boy! Oh, you don't
that
remember
song,
it.
Though.
You was there.
I know I was.
You were feeling it.
I was
it.
There. I was not there in spirit. I was there in body.
I was so happy when you said outlaw too.
God,
that's one of my
song.
Top three on
and
that.
And nobody
album.
Really knows that song.
Know.
But when that chorus hits,
when Annie Oakley,
that's the first Luke Combs song I ever heard.
I listened to that entire.
No, I'm talking
hours.
About. Can I get an outlaw? What she was talking about?
Can I get
an outlaw?
Okay.
What do you think about? Because this is where I differ from a lot of people. What do you think? Where the whole thing with Upchurch and Combs. Where he had to take the video down.
I don't think I know anything about this.
Oh, okay. Well, there.
I thought you were about to ask me about the Morgan Wallen thing. I'm like, oh, get me fired up.
Hey. Oh, no, let's do that one first.
Get me fired up.
No.
First of all, let's talk about the fact that it was some nosy ass neighbor. Let's find out who his neighbor is and I'll roll up.
You know, it was just a ring cam, right?
It's a what?
Yeah, it was just the doorbell.
It wasn't. The neighbor got lucky. It was on like the ring things at your door.
Yeah.
The neighbor wasn't actually
filming. But that was the night. But that morning, the guy was actually holding his
camera.
Yes.
That's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
First of all,
yep.
Morgan was in his front yard. In his front yard. And I have never said that word in my whole life. I do not like it. It makes me uncomfortable. However, it cannot be okay for one race and not okay for another.
Yeah,
it can't.
And I'll go and tell
if it's a bad word, it's a bad word for all.
Mm-hmm. It is, but the way he said it with the A, not the ER, everybody in this room, you might not have, everybody in this room said it with the A, but it was the way we were raised with our buddies.
Right.
Like growing up, playing football, playing baseball, whatever, it's kind of, you throw it back and forth with each other.
Well, I feel like we got it from supporting their music and listening to it and liking them. We didn't pick it up by not liking them.
Which, if we're going to cancel Morgan, let's go on and cancel Eminem, too. Let's go on and do that.
Look. Yeah, but see, this is the thing they'll say about Eminem, though, because it's their genre, it's their rules.
Oh, right.
Well,
right.
Here's
the thing. That's where, even if you're a Caucasian.
So it's good for the goose and good for the gander.
Yep, right. Okay. When I was 5 years old, I got my ass beat for saying that in the context of a funny song that I had heard another kid say. And I said it to another kid. And my mom, I was in the beauty shop with my mother, and she yanked me up
beauty
by the nape
shop.
Of my neck, took me outside, and wore my ass out.
Yeah. No,
from then on, I was like, that's a bad word. You don't do that. And then I remember when I started listening to rap music when I got on a little older, and I heard it for the first time, and I was like,
Yeah.
They said it.
And he said it in a way that was like, get this guy taken care of. Like, he didn't say it in a demeaning way.
Yeah, but,
and he said it to another white person.
Yeah, and see, that right here is what fucking pisses me off.
But then it's like, because you're not black, Brandy, you can't say, no, I'm going to say shit because I can have a fucking opinion about it.
That's right.
And it wasn't black people that had a fucking problem with it.
Right.
Black people came to his rescue.
I know these white kids sensitive.
I cannot tell you how many black people I saw on TikTok that were like, he did nothing wrong. No. Like, he did nothing wrong.
And anything, he probably got a million more fans.
I was going to say, and he is doing better than
his music sales went up 1,200%.
He proved what we're trying to do here, that you do not need the opinion of those big-headed sons of bitches in Nashville. The stuff that we're building, that I will talk to you about when we get off here because I want you part of it, is you don't need that traditional foundation anymore.
Right.
as crazy as it sounds, and I don't know if you know him or not, David Allan Coe is a legend in country music.
Uh-huh.
David Allan Coe has some of the roughest songs you'd ever heard in your life. I do not agree with some of them, but have I sang them with my friends?
1,000%.
Yeah. I'm from the South. Shit happens. Yep. You don't know what you're singing at the time, to be honest, when you first hear them when you're young. But David Allan Coe is 80-something years old and still selling out shows. Morgan Wallen is going
he's
to gonna
be fine.
Morgan Wallen, he's gonna be bigger now because now it's just like with anything else. Morgan Wallen just transcended race and came cool to another race.
And what I don't like is that he got on Instagram and or TikTok or whatever and apologized and said, I'm gonna go meet with this and this group, and I'm just like,
you can't apologize.
Bro. He had to.
He was dropped by his label.
So?
But then, Kane Brown came out with his own label. Do I agree with him apologizing? No, I don't think he should have done
it. Mark my words, if you are backed into a corner by the left on any type of media, any type of social media, whatever, and you come back with an apology, they will have your head.
Well, you have
they will crucify you even worse than you're already
are being
crucified.
Are they people doing nasty shit for $20? So I can imagine what he's doing for a few million.
I'm
just saying.
We
can sit here and say we wouldn't apologize, but if there's like a few million on the line.
Well, here's when you get to that point, though, you have to pick between morals and money.
Right.
It's either you stand by your guns.
Right.
You know what Aaron Lewis would have done? Aaron Lewis would have stood
by
his guns.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to be hanging out with some of the same circles, and
he's good.
I get drunk and bum American spirits off of him, he's like, God damn relief.
Man, he belonged in country music.
He's such a great guy, though.
I'll still listen to
Well, he's a former Marine.
He's
got Don't Tread on Me tattooed across his
freaking
neck.
Don't we all?
Like,
I mean, shoot.
But he, with
badass.
He wouldn't have done it because he doesn't give a shit about the money. He gives a shit about his legacy.
That's right.
Morgan Wallen, at this point in time in his career, he wants the money. I don't blame him for the money.
Well, he's young.
I don't blame him for doing that. But there ain't no way he believes in having to apologize, just like the rest of them don't. But they're doing what they got to do because they want a career.
Yeah.
Sure.
But Morgan just proved that, you know what? I can do what I'm scared what Morgan's going to do next.
Oh, my God.
Because
now
he knows.
I can't wait.
Now he knows. It's like, oh, fuck. I'm invincible.
Uh-huh.
No.
I can do whatever, and I'm
still
going to sell
out venues. He came back from that Tuscaloosa thing, which drove me up a wall. Not so much him, but so much the girls sitting there glorifying this. I'm like, you're sitting there glorifying the fact that this man went around and had his tongue in every single one of y'all's mouths, but then you're going to get on this guy for talking to another girl.
Yeah. Some people here have been on the road. And some people here are musicians.
I don't know what you
mean.
I don't know who he's talking about.
I have dated my fair share of musicians. I know what y'all do.
And I'm telling
you. I know what y'all do.
I feel like I'm being stereotyped right now.
I'm looking right at you. I'm looking right at you when
I
say
know,
this.
I know, I see that.
But it's weird. I mean, shit happens.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. The boy's young. Right. If he was old and he was married and he had a wife and youngins at home or whatever,
just
because
you're young
that.
Doesn't mean you got to be wild.
It don't mean you ain't got to not be.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying. Doesn't mean you got to go have your tongue down every single Tuscaloosa woman.
That's why the good Lord didn't give me musical talent or family good looks. Because I'm telling you.
That's why.
I'd be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right.
What Morgan Wallen is doing is what I would do.
It's because I can.
That's exactly. It's like, this girl over here in the corner, I just made out with her. And now her friend's over here. Let me see if I can go make out.
Right, let me see.
Let me just see.
And you wonder why people talk about us.
It's science.
No, we don't wonder.
It's monkey brain.
We don't wonder.
We're just
cavemen.
We just got a few new gadgets.
Right.
You know? I mean, see ball, hit ball. I'm still trying.
Give him a rope. You want to be a cowboy.
There you go. Oh, no, that's Dixie. That is Dixie.
Well.
But no, I mean, that's...
I mean, like, I had my wild days. There's some moments that I regret. I do. I wish I could take it back.
We all do, darling.
I mean, 1,000%. Yeah. But I do not agree with just because you're young, just because you're single means you got to go out and do this, that, and the other, because you don't know how it's going to affect you later on in life.
You're right.
You don't know the trauma that you're going to go through after the fact of, like, especially these girls, like, going out and doing whatever they can while they can.
You don't think, though, for those girls, the ones that end up complaining about it and sharing it, you don't think in their head, though, that's a moment in their life they're going to have the rest. Like, it's always going to be
gonna
a highlight.
They're going to tell their kids, your mama got drunk made out more than
I promise you. It's going to be like Dewey Cox all over again.
We got mamas and grandmamas down here. The farther you go south, and they'll still tell you about throwing their panties on stage.
Conway Twitty.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
Conway, my daddy was at that Conway.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's seen it.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah. Your grandma.
Uh-huh.
Grandma, wild girl. But no, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I would see if he was married and everything. I would think it was very wrong. I don't ever condone cheating. But I would think it was wrong then. Yeah. But now, man, that's everybody. I don't know if y'all remember Johnny Manziel, the quarterback that came out of Texas Tech a couple years ago, went to the NFL. All he did was party. They gave him a couple $1 million or $10 million right off the bat. All he did was party the first 2 years and got kicked out of the NFL. I would hope that I would be responsible enough not to do it, but I get it.
Right.
I get why you do that.
Right.
You're a young man. I mean, you got the whole life ahead of you.
Look, I played music on the road. Up until last year, I played music on the road at least half the time for 10 years. Before that, the only place I'd ever played music was in a circle with my family playing bluegrass or in church. And then I came on board with Tiger Creek Band with Justin Dukes and those guys, and I started playing lead guitar. And all of a sudden, I'm like holding this guitar, looking around, going, what in the hell is going on? This is crazy. And I went nuts for about, 3 or 4 years? I did. I was in my early 20s. Yeah. I was playing lead guitar for a band who was super successful in South Georgia. We were playing the circuit. I was like, this is badass.
And I was a drummer in another band.
That's how we crossed paths.
Nice.
And then I kind of chilled out a little bit. I got my heart broke real bad.
I'll do it to you.
And I chilled out. And then I went to Nashville. But by the time I got to Nashville, I'd kind of got all that shit out of my system.
Yeah.
So I was thankful for that time that I had. But it's very easy to get taken away by something, especially when you're not used to that kind of attention.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knew who Morgan Wallen was how many years ago?
Oh, yeah. He started out on The Voice as a pop singer, by the way.
Yeah, he's fresh. He's still wet behind the ears. Mm-hmm. I love his music, and I ain't knocking him, but he's still wet behind the ears to this thing.
That's what happened with Bearded Bastard.
Yeah.
Nobody know who the hell I was when I was 300-plus pounds and had nothing going for me. Bearded Bastard exploded, selling T-shirts, selling hats, all this stuff and everything. All of a sudden, women started paying me attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the second that started happening,
whoa.
I had to start getting tested.
Like, COVID's the least of my worries.
I promise you, I failed some of them.
Hey. Oh,
it seems like the only test I passed in that whole period was a pregnancy test.
When we came back from the trip, I got a rapid test from my cousin that she works at a doctor's office. Actually,
for what?
What a southern thing to say.
My dad smoked for like 50 years.
Uh-huh.
And so we had been on the road in Texas. Nobody was wearing a mask. So I got home and I was going to be home for a week around my dad. I was like, I got to get a COVID test because I wouldn't forgive myself if I got around him and he got it from me and he died or something bad happened. So I called my cousin. She hooked me up. She got me. And so, like, I had the test, and one line means you're negative. Two lines means you're positive.
Mm-hmm.
So one line showed up. I'm good. So I took a picture of it and posted it to my Instagram story and said, well, I'm not pregnant. And I got, 10 messages in a row. What the hell?
I had to take a rapid test when we got back from Texas, too. It was not for COVID.
It wasn't for COVID.
Jesus Christ.
I love cowgirls. I'm going to tell you. Have you ever been to Texas?
Yes, I have.
You and Jimmy got to go to Fort Worth and just hang out for about a week.
My ex-husband's from Fort Worth. We went there one time.
I'm in love with
it. I'm playing for a whole week there next month. I wish you'd come.
What?
I love Texas.
I didn't know.
So
I knew you
were
going.
Yeah, I'm playing Dallas-Fort Worth with Kristen Kelly and a bunch of us. I think she's actually got us a tour bus and shit, so we're
actually
going
down there. Okay, small flex. All right.
I'm inviting him.
Not us. No, we're fine.
Yeah, no.
We're good.
I'll just go over the corner.
We'll just go see ourselves out.
I don't give a damn where you go. I'm going to Fort Worth.
Come on.
Yes.
We're always doing dumb shit, though, right. So it's a lot of fun.
See, the thing is like, well, when is it?
This is April 21st through the 26th.
See, with Jimmy, the rain makes his schedule because he's a farmer. So I don't think we'd be able to go.
Then we're doing Key West, May 3rd through the 10th.
I've been wanting to go there for the last 5 years.
Basically, March through November is basically out of commission.
Yeah, like, I mean, family farm. So
it's a whole different world.
Y'all have to, though, because it's going to keep getting pushed back, I can already tell, but the fall will be great for all of us anyway.
Yeah, it cools off.
He does get a break, like, in between.
We all are going to take this, and I think I kind of talked to you about it already a little bit, but we're all going to take this vacation together where it's going to be a lot of folks that have big social media platforms like y'all do, and then some musicians, up-and-coming guys, and we got some guys that already signed that we're buddies with and all that. But we're going to rent one of these fat-ass cabins or beach houses or whatever.
Oh, God, I love cabins.
And just everybody, like Anthony, I've talked to him about it.
I love Anthony. I call him my baby daddy. I love that man.
He's a gay conservative. I've had him on a couple times.
Nice.
He's
the one you were on the phone with.
Conservative
we
and.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
His husband just moved to Florida solely based on politics.
Oh, yeah. That's what he was doing.
They were up in Indiana.
They're in Fort Myers, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were up in Indiana, and they couldn't stand it. They could not stand it. So they're like, we're moving down to Florida where you don't have to wear a mask anywhere.
He's going
to
be here real soon. Like, mm-hmm. I've already told him and his husband they'd come up here for a couple of days real soon.
It's funny. He used to be a hardcore liberal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He
voted for Obama the first time.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
He told me the story, him and Barbie, whenever I had them on at Sign Conservative Barbie. And they like kind of went into detail why they're conservative and why they're so conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And his story, when you hear it, it's awesome.
He was a part of the walkaway movement.
I don't know what the walkaway movement is.
It's where like a whole bunch of the LGBT alphabet community, they just walked away from the liberal side.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Because they realize that the liberal side is against them. They really are.
Well, anymore, if you look at politics, you have the hardcore left and you have liberals. And even the Democrats who are kind of middle of the aisle are looking at the hardcore left going, this ain't what we signed up for.
Right.
Well, if you go back and watch, even if you go back to like the 90s and watch what the stuff that Bill Clinton said, it's almost the same shit that Trump and everybody else
was
saying.
Well, if Bill ran today, he'd be a Republican.
Yeah, I know. That's what's crazy, as much shit as we like to talk. I think a lot of their taxes are a little different because they just wanted to.
I just like Bill Clinton. I don't like his wife.
Can I just tell you
but I like Bill.
That, I saw this thing that Kamala Harris is hosting an event, Empowering Women, and it's featuring Bill Clinton.
Nice.
Oh, that makes sense.
Nice. It's going to be a lot of blowjobs going on.
I know.
It's a lot of mouths.
I have never wanted to be a part of something so bad in my whole life. My whole damn life.
Bill's just one of those that you really just want to be in his ear.
And no, I don't.
No, I do. I just want to hear what he has the audacity to say.
He has so much audacity.
He's got to just, you know, just walk up and be like, hey, I used to be president.
Uh-huh. That's it.
You want a little dictation?
Stop!
Bill, I hate Hillary.
She's a commie.
You can almost see Bill sometimes looking at her like,
what the fuck did I do?
Yeah. Like, he doesn't like her either.
She's a big old lesbian.
If you've never listened to Robin Williams' stand-up, you should listen to that bit he does about somebody waking up after 20 years and finding out the shape the country's in. And they go, and they start questioning about what happened and, like, the story of politics from, like, the early 90s to, like, the late 2000s. If you just woke up and had no idea what had happened, you'd be like, uh-uh.
Uh-uh, I quit. Just go ahead and take me out now.
You know what's crazy about a bunch of that? Is Joe Biden back then was part of a lot of the things that ruined the country in the 80s.
Oh, I know.
Uh-huh.
Like, and now
the crime bill and all that stuff. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was very anti-black.
Oh, he segregation is. Not he was. He is.
They're still pro-segregation.
He is.
That's why they
he
still
separate
everything.
He literally said, we're going to put you guys back in chains.
Yeah.
He called them super predators.
Yeah, right. I know.
Oh, yeah. On the floor of Congress.
Oh, yeah.
The video.
It's not what you said. It's how you said it.
I'll say it again. Super breader.
Like your eyes got so big.
Super cereal.
Super cereal, guys.
Mr. Flame.
Mr. Flame. But how does that get overlooked? That's what blows my mind.
Because Trump is Big Bad Orange Man.
The Big Bad Orange Man might have said he grabbed a woman by something.
Okay, yeah. First of all, people ask me all the time, aren't you offended by what he said? No, I'm not offended by what he said. What I'm offended is by how Biden will go up to little girls
and sniff them and go up
to women and grab their shoulders. That's what I'm offended by.
You mean to tell me they banned Pepe Le Pew?
Right.
And Biden's still hanging around?
Completely get the Pepe Le Pew thing.
Oh, I get it.
I get 1,000%. That's the first thing that they have canceled that I get.
I get it.
Even Dave Chappelle, like back in the early 2000s, was talking about Pepe Le Pew was rapey
super weird.
Yes. And
well, that's what I'm saying. You mean they banned him, but they're still letting Biden hang
around?
That's his point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the thing is, I think you and I talked about this. Like the left sat there and they canceled all these different brands off the shelves. They took Uncle Ben. They took Aunt Jemima.
Yep.
Why is it uncles and aunts? I don't know. Anyways, so they took all the black people off of these labels. And guess what's left on the labels, on the shelves? White people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that there is an agenda with that with the liberals to have white people all over all these labels, but they take all the black people off?
Well, that's all they have done, and people just are kind of too ignorant to realize it that are undereducated on the subject. But all they did was instead of you being a certain generation being physically enslaved, they mentally enslaved people now, and they've got them to where we're telling you what to do, but we're manipulating you now
to
do
it. And it's all these 10-year white political men that are the ones that are like, we're offended by this. Not nobody of color is offended by it.
Well, you look at what I'm saying too. It's the race card and it's the emasculation card of men.
Yes.
You look at what you see on sitcoms, the men are made to look like
idiots. My dad hasn't seen that for years.
Yeah, it's an emasculation thing. Like they don't like manly men anymore.
You know why though? Because that gives people hope that they have someone to follow to stand up against the oppressor. That they're trying to take away masculinity from men because you don't have to worry about somebody fighting back against you. That's what that crime bill and everything that Joe Biden helped with back in the 80s. Candace Owen talks about it
She's
all the time.
Badass.
They took the fucking father out of the homes, and when that happened, the government
became
their
daddy.
Father.
Yep.
Became daddy. Yeah. And so now you have this whole generation of people that if the government fails, that means daddy's fails. That means that they fail.
Why do you think they want to keep people on government assistance?
I hate government assistance.
Yeah.
The only people that should be on government assistance are people that have an actual handicap, a disability, and are completely unable to work. Mm-hmm. Besides that, even if you are one of these mothers that need food stamps or whatever, not knocking it. If you don't make enough, that's whatever.
Right.
We were raised by mothers who will go work another fucking job.
Yep.
But the ones that are on it that don't have that luxury or whatever it is, you know what? You should have to do community service to make up the difference. Drug test, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You should not be on government assistance and still be able to smoke weed.
Right.
Or just whatever. There's probably a lot more than that. But you should have to, if you are one of these, there are so many guys. This is what pisses me off. There's so many people in their 20s that are men that are on government assistance because that's the way they were raised and the way they want to be.
That's not a man. That's a boy.
Take your ass out and pick up fucking cigarette butts and trash off the damn streets if you want to get that check every
week. Well, it's just like the fellow that was sitting outside of Cashman's yesterday. He was asking us for money while he was sitting there drinking a beer.
Love that for him.
Oh, yeah. And then he got mad because we don't have change. We got debit cards.
Yeah, everybody says that.
We got fucking jobs, my guy.
What I don't understand is them hobos in Nashville on the corner. Every damn one of them's got a dog, and I can't get one.
Right, that's the rude, most appalling thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they make more money. There's this one homeless person in Atlanta. Everybody knows him. He makes probably about $50,000 to $60,000 a year. People just giving him money.
No doubt.
There's an Indian family, and people call them out every time in Dublin, but just so many people don't see it on social media. There's an Indian family. They got a four-door Hyundai minivan or whatever. They'll go stand out there, and they'll fucking hold their signs up or whatever. They got a nicer vehicle than most of the people that are coming through there, and people still give them money.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. The flip side of that, there's a guy in a big guy. He's a I don't know how old he is. He's got to be in his late 60s at least. But his name's Horace, and my mom was
a
nurse.
What's his name? Horace. That's a name you don't hear.
Yeah.
I love it.
And he's he's mentally handicapped, mm-hmm. has been all his life. My mom was a nurse, and she was the nurse manager at the nursing home on the men's hall. And so he finally got admitted to the nursing home, and I don't know if he's still living or not, but for years, I'm talking years, ever since way before I was born, you'd see him walking down the street pushing a push mower. And I don't know if he was on government assistance or not, but I know every time you'd see him, he was pushing that push mower going somewhere to mow somebody's grass, and he'd pick up sticks and whatever. Mm-hmm. He worked like a dog. And, like, I felt so bad for him because he wasn't all there, and he got run over like two or three times just living in Baxley. But he was always going somewhere. He was always doing something. Anytime, and, you know. But he was going somewhere to do something.
What?
He couldn't talk plain. Oh. So you'd holler at, "Hey, Horace," you know, that's all he could do. You couldn't understand what he said. But when you when you would see him, he was going somewhere to do something. You never saw him sitting down. I'm like, you mean to tell me that he could get out and mow people's grass and pick up sticks and do stuff like that, and people are 20 years old sitting back waiting on a check?
It's a difference of generation.
Yeah, exactly.
It was that man, regardless of his handicap or how much his mother cared about his education, as far as Gump jokes.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, hold on. No, hold on. Hold the fuck on.
I had to throw that Game of Thrones reference in
there. Is those older generations were raised to work, sweat, bleed for what you got, to earn what you got. Now, and it's, you know, we all in this room, in one way or another, kind of work off social media. Social media has made people so, I can't think of the word, that they think they deserve everything.
They're entitled. Yes. I can't get the word. They think
they're supposed to get it now because they're supposed to get it now. Uh-huh. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Somebody even like him knows with a mental handicap that if you want something, you got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, go ahead, Tucker. Let's hear what the fucked up thing is about to come out of your mouth.
So the story I was going to tell is basically what Tyler told, but there's this guy from where I'm from, and they called him Iron Man. He was an older black fella, and he's awesome. I grew up working in the grocery stores going through high school, and he always hung out outside of the grocery stores, and he couldn't talk plain. He'd go, give me a dollar.
Oh.
That's how he asked for a dollar. Like, anyways, well, he went to Uvalde, Georgia. He went to Uvalde, Georgia to Ladson's, which is a convenience store over there, and the owner was there, and he was out there asking people for a dollar or whatever. And the owner said, "I'll tell you what, if you sweep these floors, I'll give you $5, Iron Man." He said, He went and he swept the floors, and he said, "I'll tell you what, you keep coming back every day, and I'll give you $5. And so anyways, Iron Man didn't show back up for 2 weeks, and he came back up there 2 weeks later and started standing out there, give me a dollar, asking people for money. And finally, he showed back up, and he said, "You ain't going to stand there." He said, "I just told you 2 weeks ago, if you come back here every day and sweep the floor, I give you $5. He said, "Why didn't?" He said, "Goddamn, why I quit a good job like that."
I fucking hate you.
It's a true story. It ain't my fault.
I was thinking that there was going to be a moral
to this
story.
No,
it's just he quit a good job. Don't quit a good job.
He ended up being like the manager of the store.
Well, he's a fucking amazing songwriter. So I was thinking to myself, oh, he's got the storyline for this. It's going to wrap back around. It's going to make sense.
No, this ain't the blind side.
It was not a single
thing. No, he's the piece of shit.
This ain't radio, okay?
I was thinking it's gonna be like he ended up being the manager of the store one day, and this
nope, he just didn't show back up.
That ain't how shit works in Uvalde.
Goddamn, wow, what a good job like that.
I hate you.
I knew you'd like that.
Brian, please save this. Tell us about First Ladies.
Okay, so First Ladies team is a. First of all, I apologize to everybody listening for these hooligans. Second of all, because we all know that y'all came on listening for me.
We need a good Christian woman to put us in our place in here.
Right. Well, when you find her, let me know. So.
Cheers.
So
we're
first,
going to look for her tonight, actually.
I am talking.
You think we're going to find one of those estates, bro?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Some mama out there needs to come get her son right here is what they need to do. Good Lord.
She's as damn bait as I am.
I bet. Any place. So, First Ladies started out as a group. Y'all let me know when you're done.
We're fine. We're fine, sweetheart.
Okay, so First Ladies is a group that started out on TikTok. And it's basically if you support first responders, military, you defend our constitutional rights, you love this country, you're a part of First Ladies team. And then we started getting a whole bunch of people saying that we want some merchandise. So then My friend Melissa and I created the merchandise, and then now we had a bunch of men. They're like, well, we want some hats. We're like, we certainly can't have you wear like First Lady's hat or First Lady's shirt. So we created an offshoot line that is like First Lady's man, or this man supports First Ladies. So if you guys want any merch, not you guys, because y'all ain't getting free shit. Y'all can pay for it. You can get free stuff any day, baby. That's what you can get. I'll buy you some. You go to firstladiesteam.com. We've got shirts, we got mugs, we got hats, we got iPhone cases, we got everything. So if you're an American God-fearing woman, it's where you belong.
I thought we could find no God-fearing women around here.
Yeah, well, she had to travel.
I had to travel. I'm done.
You don't even know yet.
No. I'm not drinking yet.
I know you hadn't had anything to drink.
I've not yet begun to defile myself.
I will go ahead and tell you. When you and Mr. Jimmy come around, all of us can let loose, have a couple drinks, everything.
Oh, God. I'm not going to be able to get a word in. Have you seen that man? He talks. I love it, Jimmy. I love you. But he talks.
We're supposed to.
I know, but I'm meaning, like, he can sell ice to an Eskimo. He's good.
That's good.
He can be walking to a room full of penguins.
He's good.
Y'all, whenever y'all get to cut loose with us,
I like the way you waddle.
That's what I was. I had a picture of you in a little tuxedo.
I know, exactly.
This waddling in my head.
Oh, buddy.
But,
that's so cute.
Y'all will either fall in love with our whole group by the time it's over and done with, or y'all gonna be like, look,
we ain't never.
We like all y'all, simply.
Jimmy and I get along with just about everybody.
Well, this is a particular group.
Okay.
But no, I see the folks y'all hang out with and do all everything with. Mm-hmm. We're a lot like, I think we're just a little louder.
Trashier.
Oh, God.
Trashier.
Oh, I
there
like
you go.
That.
Trashier.
Trashier. Yeah.
Trashy's good.
We're very concreted in our beliefs.
Uh-huh.
We're like a dry red wine. You Jesus have to develop Christ. Your taste for it along
right.
and along.
How
over
did you class
over.
That up?
That and hot
that
dogs.
That is real classy.
Thank you for classing that up.
As you're drinking a Mick Ultra.
Yeah,
that's
boy.
What I drank when I was 13.
You're like red wine and hot dogs.
This is the pure gold.
I,
this is the good
I
stuff.
I barely drink, but if I do, it's a bullet and Coke.
Ah, we like nice. Bullet whiskey.
Yeah, boy.
We drink a lot of whiskey around here, but this is our breakfast.
Okay, I can see that.
Well, all of us never really get together anymore because everybody's always gone off somewhere. Mm-hmm.
It's so been like a week and a half.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so like the whole next week, like Mr. Phillips has walked in. You'll get to meet him in a second whenever we get done with this. But we've got Dustin Heron coming in town. We've got a lot more people, Christian Kelly.
Trey.
Trey Landon. I mean, it's just
Justin
guys.
Andrews.
When you hear these guys' music, they're all just so freaking good. Amazing songwriters. And one of the things that, like I told you, I want to do is I want to mix this together because mm-hmm. you are what I consider a kingmaker. I don't know if I went like into
what's that mean?
Okay. a kingmaker is you have a certain power. It's just like what I would have when I worked in radio. With your social media following, and the way people look up to you and the way you stand for the right things or whatever, there's a lot of people that take just real pride in what you say. Mm. So you have the ability that if you like something, all of a sudden you can make 850,000 people like it.
Mm.
And that's what a kingmaker is.
Okay.
And back in the day, in Nashville or whatever, music, Motown or wherever he's at, it took certain people saying, hey, this song's going to be the next number one. We're putting it out. We're promoting it or whatever. Well, a guy, and there's been several other people that's done it, but the most recent one we've got to work with is a guy named Trey Lewis. Trey Lewis has been in Nashville for 10-plus years. Yeah. He's an amazing songwriter. He works with Matt McKinney and some more folks that were buddies with that are all super talented. It took one song on TikTok,
mm-hmm.
the Dick Down in Dallas song.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. He did a show.
Somebody sent me a shirt with them lyrics on it.
Yeah. He did a show for me, a concert for me in December. He has went 10 times his asking price since December to now because of one song. Mm-hmm. And all it took was certain people on TikTok sharing it.
They did a 6-week promo campaign on TikTok before that song came out.
Yeah.
And it went, what, top 10 or top something?
It was number one on iTunes for a couple weeks.
And without any radio play.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to mix people like you that actually stand for the right shit.
Mm-hmm.
That I've tried this with other folks and just don't work because you got to be business oriented. You got to be looking for the next step.
Yeah.
And if you start mixing those two things together, you can, if you really like somebody, and I would never ask you to hunt, nobody else does either. If you don't like something, never support it. Don't do it for the money. Absolutely. Always pick morals over money.
Yep. Right.
But if you like something, realize that this guy or this girl that you're listening to has a message, and you have the ability to change the landscape mm-hmm. of music. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds fucking insane, right? But all of a sudden, people can go from not ever hearing this artist to where overnight, they're number one on iTunes, and it's just because Priscilla Block's a good friend of Lee's.
Oh yeah, I love
her.
She's
a lot, Priscilla. Like, really good friend.
Yeah,
her.
You too.
Yeah,
Priscilla's real close with everybody here, or not me. I've only been around a few times, but same thing with her. She ended up with the couple that she did. You, if you were to find people you were invested in, actually like, and didn't just do it for the money, it's because it's their family and all this kind of stuff, you can change somebody's life.
Right. Well, there was this one video that I did of me going up and seeing Jimmy and surprising him one day, and I used this random song that someone said, well, I think it fits you and Jimmy perfectly. Yeah. It's about a long-distance relationship. And I used it, and the video got like 4 million views. And then the guy messaged me, and he's like, I want to thank you. Your video, it's a 15-second video.
Mm-hmm.
Shot my song up the charts.
Now, think about it like this. If you were associated with someone that has a recording studio and a place to promote artists and everything, if you were getting a cut of that, if you were getting a piece of promoting those artists that you actually believe in, well, now you're taking it from making money on TikTok and on social media to all of a sudden you have part of a business to where you're getting income, and all you have to do is make a 15-second video and you can make some real money.
I know.
You're setting yourself up for the next step.
Absolutely.
That is why, like I said, and they've been around when I've tried to do this with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people don't take it serious. But that's also a reason why, like I told you before, I think you ought to have your own podcast. Mm-hmm. I think you ought to start looking into the next step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to keep riding on this shit for a while anyway.
Yeah.
But go ahead and plan for the next step. That way, when TikTok runs, when I was really big on Snapchat at one point in time, I had like 100-something thousand views on everything I did on Snapchat.
It's exhausting.
It was incredibly exhausting. I got a job in radio that I never interviewed for. They found me off of social media, offered me a very nice contract. I quit doing the Bearded Bastard stuff. By the time I left radio, I had the number one country show in the state of Georgia, and it was because that following went there. And then, coming here, the podcast started off more successful than most people's podcasts start off originally because of my following. Mm-hmm. And now, because I'm doing shows with folks like you, Ginger Billy, musicians
Jimmy
left
loves
and right.
Ginger Billy. Oh, my God.
He's not too... Well, I'll give you... I'd love for y'all to meet.
Him and Jimmy... Oh, God. Jimmy and him follow each other. I don't follow him. I don't know his stuff.
He's funny.
Oh, you need to look at
he is incredibly funny. But mixing all that together is where, in a year or so from now, with hard work and actually moving forward, you probably don't ever want to go back to work for somebody else, do you? Mm-hmm. So if you go ahead and plan the next, I've been working for myself through social media, and radio station don't really count because it's 4 hours a damn day. But like, I don't ever want to go back to work for myself or for anybody else.
You're never going to get rich punching somebody else's clock.
You're not. So why not take what you have built and keep doing exactly what you're doing, throw a couple other things into it, and then all of a sudden, shit, Bree's making money off of music, getting to hang out with musicians, and she don't write or play nothing.
And it's so freeing because you're, like, once, like I told you, getting let go from that job was, I was in a state of panic because I got a kid, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to do, insurance, and the whole thing. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it kicked my butt into high gear of, like, you know what, now I can post whatever the fuck I want to post.
Hell yeah.
I can be as political or as not political as I want to be, and I can say what I want and not give a shit about if my employer sees it, how it reflects that on them. I'm sorry,
that's me. Right. That is me 1,000%. I will never post anything that is not me. And I like being able to come and go and do and being able to pick my kid up early from pre-K and go do whatever I want and go to North Carolina when I want.
Sure.
You know, and while driving, making money.
Exactly.
That's the biggest thing. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, okay, as I'm sitting here, I'm making money off my First Lady's merch.
Same.
1,000%.
With the Raising Grace gear.
Just like yesterday.
Yesterday, me and him took 10 minutes before we went and got our his hair and my beard and everything shaped up and went and did some more stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I can see it looks so good.
And, hey, we just did something simple. I posted the new hats and I posted new shirts online. And everything that I'll do the next week got paid for yesterday just from merchandise sales.
Yep.
And it didn't take any time.
Mm-mm.
But also, if you listen to Joe Rogan, Joe Rogan does something incredibly smart and beautiful that I like so, so much. He has all these guys that come in that are less known comedians that nobody knows who the hell they are.
Mm-hmm.
And he builds them up because he realizes there's a big enough piece of the pie for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, there's some people that are not going to go to a Joe Rogan show, but they'll go to this other guy's show. So it's the same thing with social media. Is there's enough people out there that everybody can make a good living, everybody can make a lot of money. You don't have to cut each other's throats.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of people, and you've probably seen it just as much as anybody, and they've seen it as songwriters, that you don't do have people that don't want anybody to outdo them.
Right.
They always have to be number
one. It's a competition.
Right.
It's a competition. It doesn't have to be a competition.
I am
my own competition.
Exactly.
That's right.
I don't want to be better than anybody. That's it. I want to be better than me.
Yep. Always push yourself.
Yeah. And that's it.
What I love is the network in Nashville. Like, because, okay, so we told you we were both musicians in smaller bands in the Hazelhurst, Vidalia, Baxley, that area. But Tiger Creek Band and Hatton Steel, my old band, it was like, who can get this show? Like,
oh, yeah.
Basically, there's always so much competition. But then we moved to Nashville, and, like, I found out you're supposed to write songs with other people and you all work together because it's a come up. It's like once one person hits it, everybody else that's been riding on that team, one of them gets a hit. Everybody else starts getting
Well, I remember.
And it's awesome.
I remember back home, if somebody had a guitar player that couldn't make a gig, they would call me. And if I took a gig with somebody else, it was like, oh, why are you playing a gig with them? Because they need
that's
a guitar
our competition.
Player. And then we moved to Nashville, and I played for you, played for Justin Dukes, Josh Sanders, went on the road with Hannah Dasher with Cadillac. I mean, it was just like everybody, like, hey, man, can you make this gig? I got so-and-so out. And it's like,
everybody's so supportive.
And it's, it's just like,
oh,
thanks, man.
Imagine us hooking her up with Hannah Dasher.
Oh, God.
They have a ball. Who that is.
You don't know the Stand By Your Pan?
Stand By Your Pan.
Oh,
you would love her. She's a riot.
She's huge on social. She looks like the modern day Dolly Parton.
She does.
She looks like the, okay.
Look her up on Instagram. It's Hannah Dasher. You'll know who are on TikTok. I think she's big on both of them.
She's huge on TikTok.
Yeah, so like it's even like we was in Nashville. There's people that was stopping her in the middle of the night, and she was just telling us like, hey, I just want to have a good time.
I was surprised that she went downtown. I'm glad she did because it was such a good
time.
But I was surprised she went downtown because she knew. And I was like, man, that's really cool. Like, oh, my God, will you take a picture
with me? Well, she didn't follow me, so that's rude. But, it's fine. I'm going
to
get over it.
Well, y'all just need to get linked up.
Say what?
I said, y'all need to get linked up.
Well, I got to listen to her stuff first, see if I like it.
Oh, you'll like it.
I mean,
okay.
I promise you, I love female country music almost as much as I like male country music. A good female can tear your heart out in a second with a song. Hannah Dasher.
She's got that voice,
She's up there.
She's a badass.
But she does a series, whether it's on Instagram or TikTok, camera, but it's called Stand By Your Pan. And she cooks food.
She is a hellacious cook, too.
I bet she is.
I'm telling you, she is.
Yeah. I was waiting for Tucker.
I didn't do it.
I was looking at you. Guess why?
Self-restraint.
I bet you we won't have no self-restraint later. No. We're going to have to. Let me ask you. How old are you again, Brie?
32. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why?
I was just curious. For some reason, I thought you were 32. If you saw the three of us walk into a college bar.
I would think that y'all are there. Y'all are there for one reason.
To see the band.
To see the college girls.
No.
They're going to play.
Looking right at you.
Yeah,
why are you always look at me when you say shit like that?
Because you're the youngest of us.
God.
Right. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yes.
I turned 31 in December.
Okay, you're a baby.
See, he's a baby.
I'm a baby.
Ethan, how old are you?
24. God, never mind. Law.
Yeah, that's a big-ass youngin.
You're a big-ass youngin. What's your mama feed you?
That's what we call corn-fed.
That's corn. Dead.
We didn't get that shit around here.
Cornbread and collard greens.
I got McNuggets.
Bitch, you're still getting McNuggets. Last night when you were hammered and you asked Justin Dukes on the phone, like, what are we made of? And Lee took.
Well, that's deep for drunk conversation.
Oh, you were deep.
I said McNuggets.
He said McNuggets. And I about to shit myself laughing.
I'll tell you what, though, them McNuggets slap.
Oh, especially with that sweet and sour sauce.
Oh, slap it out all over.
I seen that green label.
Did y'all just become best friends? The what?
So much room for activities.
I don't know how we got on Nuggets. Real quick, real quick before we get off here, Tyler, drop your social media shit.
All right, all my social media stuff is Tyler Branch Music. That's Instagram, Facebook, all the good stuff.
Tucker.
Lee Tucker Music on Instagram and Facebook. Lee Tucker 2983 on Snapchat. You want those memes I got, come get them.
He has a huge following with memes.
I don't blame him. It's gold,
it's Lee
man.
Tucker Music?
Yes.
Okay, you don't follow me, so you're a piece of shit.
I don't know you.
Oh!
Ooh.
He don't follow people.
Yeah.
You don't? No,
he
you
follows
don't.
Cooking Network. That's about it.
Hey, I do get a lot of them, like, how to grill shit. I love gourmet baby, food.
You follow her?
You follow get, me?
Okay.
You get to, you
I
get
will it. Now that I'm meeting.
I bet you will. Oh, yeah, now you're just going to clout chase. What you're
I don't know you.
Oh, good God.
Bitch, you ain't following me either. What you talking about?
Please.
I believe in equality.
The mom, like, you've been dealing with this shit your whole life.
It's been a long
he
time.
He goes, here we go.
It's been a long time.
He's just getting warmed up, too. I can't wait for when these college girls look at his ass tonight and be like, why are you here? And him just come back with something. He has the best shit talking ever. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from.
I keep thinking about you too big to have that bad.
Oh, boy, let me ask you. What would you do in this situation?
She's not big. If she's being a bitch, I don't. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? What are you
bitch? No. All right, so hold on. We was in an Uber in Macon one time.
Oh, it was a pickup truck.
It was a pickup truck. We have more people. They came, picked us up, whatever. And we tipped a little bit more as we're riding the back because we had so many folks. This is a girl that was with us all night. She's mean as hell. Just no reason.
She's ill.
She's always that way.
Yeah, she just got a nasty attitude.
So you know her.
No, yeah, I just met her that night.
I knew.
He knew her. Of course he did.
Did you know who she was?
He wasn't there. So we're in the back of the Uber, and she says something to Lee, and Lee's finally had enough.
She's just like mean. And she ain't pretty. She a big old mean thing.
And Lee looks at her and is like, look. You can be big or you can be mean, but you can't be both.
You ain't got shit to offer. You too goddamn big to have an attitude, girl.
Put that shit in the red words.
That's it. Yeah. Put it on a t-shirt.
Cool. I almost fell out of the back.
I would have laughed my ass off.
Fuck that. I got a rule. If you don't fuck me or feed me, you don't affect me.
Yes, that's the 3 S. Fuck me, feed me, financially support me.
Well, if
you
feed me, that falls under the... Because if you buy my music or insurance from me, whatever, that feeds me. Okay. So, That's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I say that to a big.
I just like good folks. That's all I care about. She wasn't good.
She was not it.
She liked good people.
No,
ma'am.
Poor thing.
Drop your social. Even though they're all gonna know your shit.
No,
already.
They won't. Cause we'll make sure they Lee don't follow me.
I told you one.
Not yet.
I don't even know your name
yet.
Do you
follow me now?
Not yet, but I want to.
You're
now that I know you.
I know. Okay, whatever.
See, we follow people we know.
That's right. We follow good people.
We follow friends. We don't follow famous people.
That's seriously, I follow like 177 people, and I get so much shit for it. But I follow people that I know.
Okay, but let's be real.
And I'm sitting here giving y'all shit.
Especially like on TikTok, though.
Yeah.
The majority of people that follow me, I've only got like, I'm right at 100,000, and you're at 800-something. Like, the majority of people on there are just watchers. Like,
yes.
They don't post nothing. I'm not following a blank ass account.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
No.
I mean, it's stupid to me. Like, if you don't post nothing or whatever, if you don't have like the same kind of beliefs at some point in time as
I'm
me,
I'm not going to associate myself with you.
Why? It doesn't make sense.
Uh-uh.
It doesn't make sense.
But my Instagram and TikTok is It's Brianna M. Both of them.
It's Brianna M.
Mm-hmm.
Now Lee Tucker's going to follow you.
Yeah,
go
we will.
On.
But real quick, before you follow him back, just know his memes.
They're
do
dang.
Not read them if you're almost about to piss yourself.
Okay.
He comes up with the most outlandish.
I love it.
It's a lot of political stuff, too.
That's a good word for it.
I love political stuff.
Well,
obviously.
Well, y'all all know where you can find me at on mine. But thank you, Miss Brianna, for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
And Mr. Jimmy. and everything. I look forward to meeting him. I hope we can all get together.
Oh, he loves traveling.
We'd love to put y'all up, take y'all down to the farm here, and
hell yeah.
Do a little moonshine, some hog hunting.
Oh my God! But you just describe. If you could describe Jimmy, that is it.
Oh, we got
right
him.
There.
We got
moonshine, hog hunting.
We're going
hunting
tonight.
I like him already.
Hunting and alcohol. That's it.
Did you say we're going hog hunting tonight?
I couldn't help it.
Nasty.
Nasty.
I'm kidding.
Nasty.
I'm kidding. Love y'all.
You nasty piece of shit. Anyway, oh, does he play golf?
I don't think so. We'll you see him playing golf?
Can you see my fat ass playing golf?
No, not at all.
I play golf. It's very relaxing.
God.
I like to drink.
He said it's very relaxing.
I like to drink beer and play golf with some music.
I don't think he does, but he is always up for doing things. He is. I mean, he's always up for doing stuff.
I'm trying to find you. That's
okay, that is not me.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, you're spelling my name
wrong.
Thought
you might have been tanned.
It's Brianna. Okay, well, that's how we're ending it. We're
look, you literally type in it's B, and I'm right there.
I typed in Brianna M.
Don't put the apostrophe.
I didn't.
No. Oh. You typed my name wrong.
My phone didn't want me to follow her, but
go buy shit from First Ladies. Go buy stuff from Raising Grace Studios. Download some Tyler Branch, some Lee Tucker, and hey, get ready because don't forget about Ethan Field. Ethan didn't get to jump on this podcast, but he's going to be on some more playing music in the next couple days. But anyway, we love y'all. Y'all get ready. The next 2 weeks are going to be wild. And once again, Miss Brianna, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.